Hi, I'm Pat Humphreys from Emma's Revolution. Today I'll be reading from the book Always Rachel.
Hi, I'm Sandy Oh from Emma's Revolution, and I'll be reciting Travel by Edna St. Vincent Millay for This Way Out Radio's Global Queer Read-In.
If there isn't a train,
welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Northern Ireland promises conversion therapy ban, Polish-German bridge becomes a pathway to pride, and Emma's Revolution reads Carson and Millay. All that and more this week, now that you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending September 12, 2020. Northern Ireland's communities, health, and justice ministers have jointly agreed to introduce legislation banning so-called conversion therapy. Northern Ireland's LGBTQ advocacy group, the Rainbow Project, welcomed the September 8th announcement. Director John O'Doherty told Pink News that the discredited practice that's supposed to turn people straight and cisgendered causes immense harm to LGBTQ plus people who have experienced these practices, including increased risk of self-harming behaviors and suicide, isolation from friends, family, and community, and for religious LGBTQ plus people, a loss of faith. Other anti-conversion therapy groups joined the applause, and the eager wait to see exactly what the legislation will ultimately look like. The coalition government of the Republic of Ireland has also committed to banning conversion therapy. Thus far, it has failed to act. The British government promised to ban the traumatizing practice 2 years ago. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said in July that conversion therapy has no place in a civilized society, but claimed that more research is needed before a ban can be legislated.
The Russian parliamentarian who spearheaded the infamous law against disseminating gay propaganda to minors is at it again. Yelena Mitsulina is proposing changes to the family code that would legally prevent trans people from changing the gender designation on their birth certificates. Tatiana Glushkova of the Transgender Legal Defense Project condemned the latest anti-queer action. She said that lawmakers are acting on what she calls a fantasy in their heads that people change their documents in order to enter into a same-sex marriage. Kyle Knight of Human Rights Watch said the measure accomplishes nothing but to score cheap political points. 44-year-old trans woman Irma Veller told the Moscow Times that this was the final straw. She's seeking political asylum in an unnamed, more welcoming country. Veller said, "My life is of no value here anymore. What angers me the most is I pay taxes just like everyone else, but I'm not treated as an equal citizen." The bill to ban transgender birth certificate changes will be debated in the lower house of Russia's parliament later this month.
Despotic Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte announced a pardon this week for the U.S. Marine jailed for murdering transgender woman Jennifer Lode. The pardon abruptly halted an appeal of the decision to release Lance Corporal Joseph Scott Pemberton for good behavior after serving less than 6 years of his 10-year sentence. He was held in solitary confinement in a military prison. Pemberton met Lode in a local bar in 2014 after his unit arrived in Manila for joint military exercises. They went to a motel room, and he choked Lode to death when he discovered that she was transgender. The Marine claimed self-defense and said he left his victim still alive. A police investigation called it a hate crime, and he was convicted of homicide. A number of human rights groups have condemned Pemberton's pending release. Lode family lawyer Virginia Suarez called Duterte's pardon revolting, a mockery of our judiciary and legal system. Christina Palabe of the group Carapatan told the New York Times that the action adds notorious proof that the U.S. continues to trump Philippine sovereignty. Speaking of Trump, the blustery Duterte is sometimes compared to the U.S. president. He's smeared election opponents as gay and joked about conversion therapy. A presidential spokesperson said Duterte issued the pardon because he felt that Pemberton had been treated unfairly. The murder of trans woman Jennifer Lowday and its aftermath is documented in the award-winning 2018 film Call Her Ganda.
The administration of Donald Trump continues to reinforce its anti-LGBTQ reputation. His Justice Department filed a Friend of the Court brief this week with the Indiana Supreme Court in support of a Catholic high school's firing of a gay teacher. A lower court rejected efforts by the Archdiocese of Indianapolis to have the teacher's lawsuit dismissed. It claimed a First Amendment right to fire Joshua Payne Elliott from teaching world language and social studies at Cathedral High School after he got married. His husband Leighton teaches at Brebeuf Jesuit Preparatory School in the same archdiocese. That school was stripped of its Catholic school status for refusing to fire Leighton. Officials at Cathedral High bowed to the archdiocese and fired Joshua. The archdiocese claims the right to fire married queer teachers because they are also tasked with educating students in church tenets, like opposition to marriage equality. The Justice Department brief says its support for the archdiocese is consistent with the administration's push for greater religious liberty. The case could eventually reach the U.S. Supreme Court.
Strutting, high-heeled drag queens in glittering attire led an LGBTQ pride parade from Poland into Germany to symbolically bridge the two countries' deepening divide over LGBTQ rights, as Reuters put it. An estimated 2,000 people crossed the literal bridge that joins the Słubice and Frankfurt an der Oder on either side of the River Oder on September 5th. Riot police guarded the march when it began on the Polish side in case of violence. The marchers waved rainbow flags and chanted defiantly at a small group of about 20 hymn-singing Polish protesters. There's been marriage equality on the German side for years, and conversion therapy was recently banned. Poland is tightening the screws on its queer citizens, especially since the re-election of far-right president Andrzej Duda. He demonized LGBTQ people in campaign speeches as an ideology worse than under the Soviet Union. Słubice teacher Mewa Topolska helped organize the march because, as she told Reuters, the only way we can change people's opinions is through visibility. Meanwhile, Poland's leading therapists and psychologists have sharply criticized last week's announcement by Catholic bishops about opening so-called cure clinics for LGBTQ people. The physician's open letter said, "We object to the ideas promoted under the guise of conversion therapy, no matter the form or name such therapy is given."
Uganda's Minister for Ethics and Integrity, self-styled Roman Catholic moral crusader and foremost militant homophobe, is no longer a member of parliament. Pink News cites local media reporting that Simon Lokoto lost a runoff election on September 5th to challenger Batom Ben-Koriang by a narrow 300-vote margin. Koriang's attitudes toward LGBTQ people aren't known, but local activists are hoping that he won't be as horrifically homophobic as his predecessor. Lokoto led the effort to impose the death penalty for same-gender sex. He's claimed that there has been a massive recruitment by gay people in schools, promoting the falsehood that people are born like that. He also boasted that Uganda tolerates its LGBTQ citizens because the East African nation doesn't slaughter them.
Finally, a queer-positive Savannah, Georgia, United Methodist Church has formally quit the denomination over its failure to affirm equality. Longtime pastor Reverend Billy Hester says his Asbury Memorial Church affectionately self-identifies as an island of misfit toys. The substantially LGBTQ congregation voted 309-7 to leave the second largest Protestant denomination in the United States in September 2019, soon after the governing conference strengthened its bans on queer clergy and same-gender marriage. The formal dissolution became official at the end of August this year. Hester said that some of the earliest supporters of Asbury were LGBT folks, and that they now make up about 35% of the membership. Soon after the U.S. Supreme Court's marriage equality ruling in 2016, his church stopped hosting weddings until the denomination allowed same-gender couples to marry, and that meant he did not allow his own daughter to tie the knot in her home church earlier this year. Hester says that he's tired of telling people Asbury Memorial doesn't host marriage ceremonies. He'll be hosting a virtual renewal of vows ceremony at the end of the month for those long-waiting couples of all kinds. The good reverend added that, "I think the denomination will get there one day."
That's News Wrap, Global Queer News with Attitude for the week ending September 12, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recorded remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V. Stay healthy.
And I'm Winslow Jones. Stay safe.
Well, I think, Bob, really, to be honest with you...
Sure, I want you to
I
be.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
The world is a crazy place, isn't it?
Raging fires, devastating floods, the ice melting and the seas warming, a global pandemic engulfing the world. As the climate crisis comes out of the closet, it's a good time to honor the mother of the modern environmental movement. That's how Pat Humphreys of the folk music duo Emma's Revolution wanted to use her time during This Way Out's Global Queer Read-In, our June 25th virtual Pride event. Pat reads from the correspondence of Silent Spring author Rachel Carson. Later, her Emma's Revolution partner Sandy Oh joins in the read-in.
Hi, I'm Pat Humphreys from Emma's Revolution, joining you here for This Way Out's Global Queer Read-In. Today I'll be reading from the book Always Rachel. It was written by Martha Freeman and published by Beacon Press in 1995. And I'll also be quoting from an article by Maria Popova from January 2017 from her blog, Brain Pickings. The article is Rachel Carson's touching farewell to her dearest friend and beloved. Rachel was an important figure for us because of our work as activist songwriters. We're friends and were mentored by Pete Seeger. And Pete Seeger was inspired to do all the environmental work that he did on the Hudson River and around the world by Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring. And some years into our Sandy's and my writing together, we were asked to write a song about Rachel Carson for the 40th anniversary of the publishing of Silent Spring. And our friends gave us a copy of this book, and it wasn't until I opened this book that I realized that Rachel Carson really had a very intense, very intimate relationship with this woman, Dorothy Freeman. And this book is a compilation of the letters back and forth between Dorothy Freeman and Rachel Carson. And, you know, in this article by Maria Popova, she talks about under the romantic ideal of love, we've come to expect that every great romance should also contain within itself, in addition to erotic passion, a robust friendship. But we hold with deep suspicion the opposite. A platonic friendship colored with the emotional hues of romantic love, that never given physical form, but always aglow with an intensity artificially dimmed by the label of plain friendship. Perhaps we need not label these kaleidoscopic emotional universes after all. Perhaps resisting the urge to classify and contain is the only way to do justice to their iridescent richness of sentiment and feeling. Rachel began to spend time up in, was it Southport Island in Maine? And she eventually moved up there with her mother. And a local member of the community, Dorothy Freeman, wrote her this, you know, beautiful, warm, welcoming letter. That letter sparked this correspondence that blossomed into, as Maria Popova says, a fast friendship aglow with anticipation of their first in-person meeting. And that meeting, Carson visited the Freemans' home and stayed for a night. Reality can so easily, this was Rachel to in a letter to Dorothy. Reality can so easily fall short of hopes and expectations, especially when they've been high. She wrote to Freeman as soon as she returned home, "My dear one, there is not a single thing about you that I would change if I could." And she enclosed a verse from Keats. "A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us and a sleep full of sweet dreams." And added, "I'm certain, my dearest, that it will be forever a joy of increasing loveliness with the years, and that in the intervals when being separated, we cannot have all the happiness of Wednesday, there will be in each of our hearts a little oasis of peace and sweet dreams where the other is." She goes on in a later letter to describe their friendship as kindred spirits, but then says, "For many reasons, we need all that we mean to each other probably lie at the heart of our love, but the more I think about all we both have said, the more I feel that there's something that perhaps will always remain elusive and intangible, that the whole is something more than the sum of the various reasons," she says in quotes. 2 years later, Carson writes to Freeman, and this is frequently how she started her letters, "My own darling, from my birthday, this is to tell you, as if you didn't know, how dearly and tenderly I love you. You have come to occupy a place in my life that no one else could fill. And it is strange now to contemplate all the empty years when you weren't there. But perhaps we shouldn't regret those years. Perhaps instead we should just give ourselves over to wonder and gratitude that a friendship so satisfying and so full of joy and beauty could come to each of us in the middle years, when perhaps we needed it most. Darling, do you know how wonderful it is to have you? I hope you do. I love you, Rachel." Their friendship lasted nearly a decade and reached into the last years of Rachel's life. This is right toward the end. This was written 3 months before Rachel's death, and only delivered posthumously. When I think back to the many farewells that have marked the decade almost of our friendship, I realize they have almost been inarticulate. I remember chiefly the great welling up of thoughts that somehow didn't get put into words, the silences heavy with things unsaid. But then we knew or hoped there was always another chance, and always the letter to fill the gaps. She goes on, "I have had a rich life, full of rewards and satisfactions." And then, "My regrets, darling, are for your sadness, for leaving Roger, the 11-year-old son of Carson's late niece, whom she had adopted. When I so wanted to see him through manhood, for dear Jeffy, Carson's cat, whose life is linked to mine. But enough of that. What I want to write of is the joy and fun and gladness we've shared, for these are the things I want you to remember. I want to live on in your memories of happiness. I shall write more of those things, but tonight I'm weary and must put out the light. Meanwhile, there is this word, and my love will always live. Rachel. And then she says, in those last weeks, I think even, she goes on to say this in her final letter. You are starting on your way to me in the morning, but I have such a strange feeling that I may not be here when you come. So this is just an extra little note of farewell should that happen. There have been many pains, heart, in the past few days, and I'm weary in every bone. And tonight there's something strange about my vision, which may mean nothing. But of course I thought, what if I can't write? Can't see to write tomorrow? So a word before I turn out the light. Darling, if the heart does take me off suddenly, just know how much easier it would be for me that way. But I do grieve to leave my dear ones. As for me, however, it's quite all right. Not long ago, I sat late in my study and played Beethoven and achieved a feeling of real peace and even happiness. Never forget, dear one, how deeply I have loved you all these years. Rachel.
The book is Always Rachel, The Letters of Rachel Carson and Dorothy Freeman, edited by Martha E. Freeman. Pat Humphreys also read from an article by Maria Popova. Pat and her Emma's Revolution partner Sandy O will be back after this.
So much cooler online.
There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
news wrap transcripts,
and CDs and downloadable material.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
We return to Emma's Revolution and This Way Out's Global Queer Read-In with Sandy O reciting a poem that becomes a song by the folk duo.
Hi, I'm Sandy O from Emma's Revolution, and I'll be reciting Travel by Edna St. Vincent Millay for This Way Out Radio's Global Queer Read-In. This poem has always been really special to me and made even more special by the opportunity to bring it to you. I learned this poem when I was living in New York City, and there was a campaign of posters on the subway walls of poetry called Poetry in Motion. I would swear that this was the first poem that was up on those subway walls, but maybe it was just the first one I noticed. And I loved it, and every time I was traveling down to work, I would read the poem and try to remember one more line and memorize one more line. And there I was one day at work after all those trips. I started to recite the poem to myself, and it came out with a tune and with rhythm. So when I thought of this project, I wondered, could Edna St. Vincent Millay be queer? And I Googled it, and there she was, bisexual woman, went by the name Vincent, had relationships with women and with men. So I'm proud as a bisexual woman in 2020 to be bringing you the words of this bisexual poet in our herstory. And here's how it goes. The railroad track is miles away, and the day is loud with voices speaking. Yet there isn't a train goes by all day, but I hear its whistle shrieking. All night there isn't a train goes by, though the night is still for sleep and dreaming. But I see its cinders red on the sky, and I hear its engine steaming. My heart is full with the friends I make, and better friends I'll not be knowing. But there isn't a train I wouldn't take, no matter where it's going.
Ooh,
You've been listening to Pat Humphreys and Sandy O, Emma's Revolution, from This Way Out's Global Queer Read-In. You can watch the video of their performance and more from the read-in on the This Way Out Radio channel on YouTube. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from John Dyer V and Wenzel Jones, produced by Brian DeShazer. This Way Out's Global Queer Read-In was produced by Brian DeShazer. Rebecca Drapkin and Emma's Revolution performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and donors Paul Bannon and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WXOJ Northampton, Massachusetts, CFUV Victoria, British Columbia, KALW San Francisco, California, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay safe and healthy, y'all, and stay tuned.